Can I mic? Dear God, my Father in heaven, my Father, please, thank you for being my Father, my Almighty King, my glorious and most majestic, most loving and caring and good and perfect God, that in you can dwell no darkness, no sin, no evilness. And Father, your word promises this to us. And as your Son, Jesus Christ, came here to let us know more about your word, he walked according to your will, Father. And I pray that you let me be a spokesperson in your will tonight, that your Holy Spirit guide me and lead me, and anything that comes from me will praise you and glorify you for Jesus Christ. Nothing could be here. I wouldn't be here. And I'm so thankful I am. And I thank you for the answers to all the prayers. And I continue to thank you for the prayers you will be answering in the future. And I patiently wait. And I constantly and instantly pray that I can pray all the time to you, Father, without ceasing. And that as I pray for all those who haven't found that love that Jesus Christ went to Calvary for, and he did all the work. There's nothing we can do, Father. It's all been done, and it's finished. And Jesus Christ finished it when he walked faithfully and willingly before the kings of his time and said nothing. If they accused him of being, and he did not deny or say anything. He knew he was in your will and to do your will, and he went to Calvary freely and gave his life so I didn't have to give mine, or that I could live mine forever with him through his shed blood. And this is the only way salvation can be found, is through your Son, Father. And in his name, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. And it's good to see you all. I hope you all enjoyed your Sunday afternoon. And I've been looking forward to this opportunity to stand up here and share my life from the time of my birth till the time of my rebirth until this time tonight that I'm standing here in front of you. It's a total of 62 years. I was born on February 2nd, 1952, St. Mary's Hospital. my mother was unbelievable to bear a son that weighed 10 pounds, 10 ounces. And even back then, I was eating solid food before I left the hospital. And I've still not grown up, although God's word is solid, and the food in here is solid. I have an easier time reading the children's Bible, and that's what I'm going through right now, is the children's Bible, because it's very easy to understand, and I still struggle with this. So you know where I am in my Christian life now. And I just recently started reading the Christian Bible, the kids' version, and I love it. And I'm right on course, and I'm going through without skipping around this time, which I always did with this book, which is hard to read, is still hard for me to read. But I'm reading them both. And to start out, I have in here some scripture I'd like to read to you or share with you that is meaningful in my life. It's Luke chapter 15, verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3 says, it begins here. Then he spake this parable unto them. Verse 4, what man of you, having a 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. This is relates to my becoming the, I would say, how God's word works and has worked and still works in my life. I'm just a sheep. Without his word, without his son, I would be lost. Wandering around in the wilderness. from the time of the age of reason, which I believe is around 5 years old, and I came to the realization, even before I had any Christian education, before my parents put me in school or anything, I just knew, as a kid, the difference between right and wrong, and I knew there was a higher power. It was just something that was in me. And one of the things that I could tell that made me believe this is when I lied to my parents, I felt bad. And then when my parents found out I lied to them, I could see they felt bad. So I knew the difference from the age of reason, very young in my life, there's something good and there's something bad. And not only is there something bad, but when the higher authority finds out that you've been bad, you suffer the wrath of your father. And when your father disciplines you, your mother just loves you more. And I'm very grateful for mothers. And this still works through my life now because I'm a father now and I'm married. My wife and I still are together. I have a son. So that same love still grows in me and will grow forever. And will grow forever and ever and ever because I know my Savior Jesus Christ. when I was 5 years old, I believed in lots of different things, aside from the right and wrong things. I was a typical kid and believed in all the fairy tales that were out there about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all this stuff. But there was something always about, you know, it's just kind of not, I don't get it, and I never got it, but I went along with everything. So when I was 7 to 8 years old, I started the first grade. This is where my religious education began, and I was enrolled in one of the denominational schools, and I spent 8 years in this school going through all the rituals that this church provides for the children that are being educated in grades 1 through 8. And I was always seeking. From the time I reached that age of reason, I knew there was a God and I wanted to know all about this God. And the more and the closer I could get to him, the better off I thought I was. And in my seeking for the Lord, or for God,
the things that this religious education was teaching me was how to do this for the church, how to do that for the church, how to be involved in the church. And it started out with forgiveness of sins. They taught me all about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and Noah's flood. They taught me about Sodom and Gomorrah. They taught me about Christmas. They taught me about Easter and the meanings of that. In first grade, they teach you how to get forgiveness of your sins by going through a sacrament or a procedure they call penance or confession, where you went somewhere and you told this priest your sins, he forgave you, you left the confessional and you said some prayers and you were forgiven. And you had to get forgiven of your sins before you could break bread like we do here. They call it communion. So before I could receive communion, I had to have my sins forgiven, and then I had to learn how to receive communion, which all this time it's just like, why do you have to do all this stuff just to know God better? All I want to do is know God. I don't want to have to do all this stuff. This is where my thinking, the way I think. Why is this so hard? Why do I have to go through all these things? So, but I followed along because I wanted to get as close to God as I could. So in my pursuit of God, I had done penance or the confession thing, and then I did the communion thing, and I'm coasting along, getting closer to God all this time. I'm thinking I'm still seeking Him, still waiting to meet Him, because I haven't met Him yet, but I'm getting closer. And then into the fourth grade, they had a thing called confirmation, where it's different than baptism. They baptize you right away when you're three weeks old, so I have no recollection of being baptized. And as, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm getting baptized next month. Not I know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I have a reason to let other people know that I am true. I have found the truth, and this is the difference in my life to make this outward sign of baptism. But anyway, I went through the confirmation thing, and I can't even remember what that was all about, but I had to get a sponsor, and the sponsor had to be there at my side when I got confirmed, and I got confirmed, and I'm thinking I'm getting closer to God. All I have to do now is, and that was it. I was supposed to be as close to God as I could get, unless I became a priest. So you know what I did? I joined the Future Priest Club of America. Me and a couple of my buddies, through this organization that I was a part of, my whole family, my parents too, we found a club. It was called the Future Priest Club. And we met every Saturday morning, me and three or four of my buddies, and we went up there and we did all the rituals that this church I belonged to did in the church, but we were doing it as kids, and we were trying to be serious about it, but it mostly turned into play and fun time. And when we got done, it was off to the candy store to buy candy and treats. And I could always do plenty of that because I had the money for my paper route. I had a job. I had money. And my friends had money. We come from well-to-do families. So I always had candy, and I ate candy. And at the same time, and the doctors say the candy had nothing to do with it, but in the fourth grade, I also became a diabetic, a type 1 diabetic, which is insulin-dependent. And I'm still taking insulin shots today. And the insulin, the way it works, if you take too much or you don't eat enough, you get low blood sugar and you start, and you act like you're drunk. and you can't, you don't make sense in what you're doing. And when you when your blood sugar gets high, you get cotton mouth, like I got right now. It's getting hard to talk. Can we take a break and get me some water? Oh, thank you. But this is good. My blood sugar is high, and I ain't going to fall down and start acting all drunk and rolling around and everything because of my low blood sugar. Okay, now, so I learned how to deal with my diabetes, and I learned, and I was, and this kind of made my life a little more serious to me, set me apart, set me different than I already was. I knew I already was different, but the Lord somehow gave me this, I don't like to call it a disease, it's a blessing to me now, because I am here because of what happened to me when I was in fourth grade. If that had not happened to me, either the candy would have killed me or the future things I got into in my later years on in life. So I struggled through all the way up through seventh and eighth grade, and that was nice to get through the grade school, and I went into high school. And by the time I entered high school, this this age of reason that I spoke of back when I was 5 years old and that I was trying to find out all through grade school, it was just too repetitious. And I wasn't getting any closer to God. And I still hadn't met him. I still hadn't found him. And so by the time I left eighth grade, I wasn't even going to the church where my family was going. And so I basically spent high school without any kind of religion, although I went to a religious high school, and they taught religion and things like that there, but it didn't mean anything to me. So I was still seeking. I still wanted to know. I knew there was something more out there than what I had known or gotten to know. I got through high school and started my career in all different kinds of fields. I went into, I was a jack of all trades pretty much. I drove truck, I drove ambulance, I was a salesperson, all these different things. But I was still confused about the Lord, still not knowing and still seeking. And through high school, up until the age I was about 24, I had a younger brother, and his name's Timothy, and some of you here, not many of you, might know him. And he and I were into the same things, drugs and alcohol in high school. We took all the psychedelic drugs, and for a while I thought maybe this was God, the psychedelic drugs, because you would take a pill and you go crazy and see things that you think only God could see or put there. So. But that didn't go anywhere, and all you had to do is have one bad trip when you took one of these pills, and then you thought, well, no, this is not God. So my doubts were still there of who God really was. And then in my 24th year, my younger brother, Timothy, started hanging around me and telling me things about God and about Jesus. It was always about Jesus. And he was always so happy. And he was talking about God all the time. Plus he was, you know, he's still my brother, and I could see a difference in him. So I started asking him, what's the difference about what happened to you? And my brother Timothy, he started telling me about the Gospels, and he gave me a Bible, and I started reading it, and I started to get it. And my brother Tim started quoting scripture verses to me about God, and these were things I had never heard before, and they all made sense to me, and I could reason with them, whereas all the previous religious upbringing I had, I could never figure out the reasoning behind them, and they were too repetitious. But this book and what my brother shared with me was always something new, always something different, and I could see the difference in my brother, and I wanted it. I wanted to, whatever he had, I had to get it. So and he told me, Mike, you got to read the Bible, and he showed me the different verses in the Bible and what to read and how to find it. And I did, and I prayed, but I still didn't get what he had. And I went to my brother and I said, Tim, I want what you got, and I've been praying for it, and I ain't getting it. And then he told me exactly how to pray. And he said, Mike, you just go in your bedroom, you get down on your knees and pray. I said, tell me how to pray. And he says, well, you pray sincerely. You say it. You open up your heart and you let Jesus in. He's a person. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. You tell him you're sorry for your sins. You thank him for shedding his blood and taking the responsibility of your sins on him, and through his blood and through your prayer and through the grace of God, you'll get saved. I said, how can I do that? He said, just go in there and do it. And I did. You know, after I left him and I went back home, and, you know, I'm going, well, I've got to give this a chance because I really want what he's got. So I went in the bedroom and I closed the door and I got on my knees. And the love of God, his saving grace, came into me and filled me with his Holy Spirit like I never knew before. It was different than I ever prayed before. It wasn't the same as I used to pray. And it was just all words. And I don't know where they came from, but it was the asking God to forgive me for putting his son, or thank him for putting my son, his son, in my place and forgiving my sins, because Jesus went to Calvary and did all the work and there was nothing I could do about it except accept it as a free gift. And I was so thankful for that. And I'm still thankful to this day. And one of the things that I like to share with people is that when Christ was on Calvary, and he said out loud, it is finished, we were all forgiven. He didn't say forget them. He said it is finished, and forgive them, for they know not what they do. And for 24 years of my life, I didn't know what I was doing until I found the Lord. And when I found him, I thought, and I was, and I knew I was on the right path. But little did I know that after walking with the Lord for 6 or 7 years, that I could fall off that path, or I could get stuck in a rut or something. And the story behind that is, well, first of all, let me thank everybody at the chapel here, because I started, hello? Peace be to this microphone. I started coming to the chapel, and not only did I see in the people here at the chapel what I saw in my brother, but these people were just so nice. And here I am, a perfect stranger. And these people, they were new, they were different to me, and they were Christians. And I thought I was a Christian. And they spoke differently, they spoke kindly. They were concerned about me, even though they did not know me. They seemed happy all the time. They were always smiling, and they were kind and gentle, and they were just joyful people, and they still are. And I still come here, and these people are still joyful and happy all the time. And I knew why now, because I had found what my brother had, and I got it, and I could see all these people had it, and I felt at home. And I was finally home. And I had met the Lord by this time. And I knew I had a Savior. And my Savior was living with me, in me. And I was set. And everything was going just great in my life. And as the world turns, and as the world draws people and makes people and do things without what we're thinking we should be doing, the world kind of grabbed me and got me hooked, even though I was a Christian. And I developed a relationship with a Christian, and was trying to carry on a relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the same time. And me and this Christian friend I had, we reasoned together between ourselves that our relationship was okay with God, and whatever we did, because we were going to spend the rest of our lives together, was all right with the Lord, because we were together and we met and we're going to be together forever. So for the next 6 or 8 years, till the time I was about 31 or 32, I walked with the Lord, and I walked with my friend who I met here, and we were doing well. But what I was into and what I was doing at the time, I found the Lord as I was a car mechanic. Not a mechanic, but I did the smaller jobs in a gas station. And this was even before I got saved, but I got saved and then I was still working at this gas station. So my Christian friend encouraged me to seek out a different career and convinced me I didn't want to be a grease monkey all my life. And I agreed, because I didn't really like the grease on me either. And she didn't either. But anyway, I sought a career in fashion, in men's fashion. And it was successful for me. And I became successful here in Milwaukee. And I was fine working here in Milwaukee, but I didn't make enough money to support a family lifestyle, to buy cars and a home and have kids. So the money was out in New York on the East Coast or on the West Coast in California. So I headed east to the East Coast, and I tried to get my foot in the door in New York City in all the bigger fashion industries out there. And to no avail, I was unsuccessful at that. And while I lived in New Jersey, I traveled to New York, but while I was living in New Jersey, I got a phone call from my Christian friend back here in Milwaukee. And at that time, we didn't have telephones or texts. I mean, these things that you can text messages on. You had to actually write stuff on paper, stick it in an envelope, and mail it. And then you had to wait for a response. You know, this could have taken up 3 or 4 days. And this went on for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months. And then finally, I sent a letter, and in these letters I was writing things I shouldn't write. But I only wrote these things because I didn't think anybody else was going to read them. But unfortunately, my Christian's friend, Authority, found one of the letters and read it, and this third-party Christian made my friend and the relationship that I had with my friend. And so that was over. They're here, I'm out there, and I have no fellowship. I'm not here at the chapel, and I don't have anything out there to fellowship with. So in the Bible, there's a thing, and I'm not even sure where it is in here, but it's called backsliding. And not only did I blame that third-party Christian heavily, it was all this person's fault, but then I also blamed the Lord for letting it happen, because I didn't think Christians could act like this. And consequently, for the next 30 years, I slowly drifted away from my walk with the Lord, in which led me along the paths of the world. And in the world, I sinned a lot against my Lord again. All right. Okay, after the 30 years, The drugs wore off and the alcohol, I was drinking large amounts and everything. But anyway, I came back to the Lord and I prayed before I admitted myself to a hospital. I couldn't quit the drugs on my own. I thought I could do it with just the Lord. I prayed to the Lord, we can do this, Lord. And I tried it for one day and I couldn't. So after another prayer and a solid commitment, I picked up the phone and I called the hospital. And I got myself into the hospital. And I went in there and I took all my drugs with me. I left the beer at home. And I spent 5 days in the hospital going through detoxification, the cleansing of my body, the physical body of me, the drugs leaving me. And they did. They left me. And thank Jesus that I had him with me. Because had I not had him with me, I probably would still be addicted. Because when you go to get unaddicted in these hospitals, they want to give you drugs to stop you from doing drugs. And if you don't take the drugs they want to give you, they think there's something wrong with you. Because after all, you're in a psychiatric hospital. Anyway, I refused to do any drugs because I had Jesus on my side, and with him on my side, there's nothing stopping me. If you know me, and those of you who know me, I love the Lord Jesus. And I was successful, and I got out of the hospital, and I prayed more, and I was walking again with the Lord. And you know, he never left me. For those 30 years that I was weaving in and out and up and down and all, I don't know who. These drugs that I was doing, they just blind you. They kick you and they knock you down. And I'm so thankful for the Lord that he was always there waiting for me. And when I got back with him, I slowly started coming back to this chapel. And to my amazement, these people are still the same. They're just, they have changed. They have gotten a little older. But they're still happy and they're still joyful. And I miss them. For 30 years. And not only did I miss them, but I had gone through a divorce, and my second wife has recently left me because of my rejoining with Jesus Christ, which is fine. I trust the Lord will bring her back, and we're still together, although we don't live together. I miss the whole life of my son. I have a 20-year-old son. He is a junior at the College of Minneapolis, and he's a music student. And he has no Christian upbringing. My wife and I, during my backsliding days, we decided to let him grow and to decide his own fate in his life as far as God was concerned. And after I came back and started walking with the Lord again, I started to share this life that I knew from the from back when I was 24 years old. I was sharing this with my wife and my son, and they didn't like it. They are, in their minds, in their institutionalized minds, they have their own ways of getting from this life to the next, and they think no matter what you do, they have their own power to get there. And I know for sure you can't do it, because there's, when you find Jesus and you know Jesus, that perfect peace and that truth fills you up, and there is such a change. It's a transformation in this person, this me, that I have felt and that I believe in, that all my hope and trust is in Jesus Christ and the work he did on Calvary with his shed blood and the forgiveness of sin. Because without the forgiveness of sin and the shed blood, there's no way anybody gets from this life to be with God forever and ever. I want to close with a reading here from the book of John. And I'm going to say a few words after I read this too. And this is the proof that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And once you have him, you can never lose him. And it's in John chapter 10, verses 25 to 30. And it says here that the Pharisees were asking him, the Pharisees said, then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And this is what I wanted to know all my life until I found Christ. I needed something plain and simple to see, to understand. And this verse, the verses here says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And this I give unto them, eternal life. And this is what I seek in all my life, eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. With this together in one hand, we have the assurance from this life to the next, no matter what happens here, and I'm the living proof of it, that all my backsliding, the Lord had me that whole time. And all I had to do is ask him for his help. And he gave it to me. And he was there. He never left me. Now all my past life is behind me. My backsliding is over. And my days with the Lord are stronger now than they ever were before in the first 6 years. The first 6 years of my life here in the chapel were fine and good and everything. And you know the story I just told you. But now it's stronger because the Lord has me. And he was working and the Holy Spirit working in my heart, waiting for my and renewing my heart and making my heart strong in the Lord so I can be a good testimony for him. And my walk with the Lord is out there. It's not up here talking to you people. I'm happy to share my testimony with you. It's not an easy thing to do. A lot of personal things I told you, which is fine. But the person that is in me is a personal person, and as he shares his life with you, with me, I can share my life with you, and I hope I do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Thank you for listening, and may you all have a, may God bless you with all his goodness tonight. Sweet dreams.
Thank you, Mike. That was we were really blessed by that, Mike, so thank you. He chose the final hymn for the